things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 12 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And the Bears come to Lambeau Field and they get squished. They turn into teddy bears.
It's always good to kick the Bears' butts. You know, even if it was a bad year and we didn't have a good record, this would help.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say for me personally, I know Sean likes to tease me, call me a negative Nelly, but I would call our first complete game in a long, long time.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I think overall they were doing well. I think the only issues I had was the run defense. Mm-hmm. I think we made Montgomery look like old school LeSean McCoy somehow. And I don't know. I get why we do it. I get that you're also trying to kind of protect players, but I felt like midway through the quarter we started playing soft on defense, which is, I don't know, I'm not a professional defensive coordinator, but it's frustrating to watch as a fan, I could tell you that. They scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, which we were already up 41-10, so it's not like it mattered, but you don't want to see that.
No, I agree with you. Last season, the Packers were 13-3, but offensively were no better last year. They were in McCarthy and Philbin's last year. So through 11 games, Green Bay is second in the NFL with 31.7 points per game behind Seattle. This is before the Seattle game Monday night, the stat. Do you want to know how far behind Seattle we were before the game?
0.2.
0.1.
I was going to guess 0.1.
Yeah. So, a league high 44 touchdowns, and that equals last year's touchdown total.
Wow. What a year. I mean, that's the thing. Let's say we're in a close game where they have a better offense than the Bears. Because, you know, they're not burning down anyone's house. But I think if you score 41 points on offense, we've seen for years now with the Packers that the defense can kind of suck. Because it's hard for most teams in the NFL to score, you know, more than 30 points on even a mediocre defense.
I agree. But I mean, it's pretty impressive what we did against the defense of the Bears, though. I mean, they're very good.
And Khalil Mack being kind of the leader of that defense, they are not a soft defense. And, I mean, Colts were one of the best defenses in the league, and I think we lost that game in the end there. But besides the turnovers, we really moved the ball against them and did pretty well in the red zone. Speaking of red zone, Davante Adams every week has some kind of insane red zone catch. He caught the touchdown leaping over the defender and kind of just ripping the ball away on the first offensive drive of the game. And it's weird that it's a weekly occurrence. He has this like non-reviewable crazy catch where it's not even close.
Right. I agree. I'm just looking here. Net yards rushing, 122 for the Bears, 182 for the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Good rushing game.
They did have what was that, a 50 or 60 yard run right up the gut?
So, yeah, Montgomery did. He had a 40 yard run up the gut, and I mean, we were lucky to catch him I think it was Darnell Savage caught on the safety,
mm-hmm.
who had a nice pick later in the game on an underthrown pass. He actually had a good game overall. He's been kind of hit or miss this season, so I was glad to see him have a good game. You know, we had 9.4 yard average for Montgomery. I'm not sure. Let's see. So if we take out, he was 11 for 103, 63 if we take that out. So he was 6.3 yards per carry if you take out the long one. That's still horrible.
Mm-hmm.
6.3 yards a carry. Jones averaged 5.3 yards a carry, really good. Between him, Williams, and Rodgers, and then one run by Equanimeous St. Brown, we were at 4.7 yards per carry.
Which is great.
Yeah, overall it was a really good run game for us. And then...
Wait a minute, you better say that again. You kind of went away there. What were you doing? Shutting the door.
Overall, really good run game for us. You can see that kind of in Rodgers' production. That he didn't throw the ball as much this game. He's normally around that high 30s, low 40s number, mm-hmm. and he only threw it 29 times for 21 completions this game.
Right, and then we ran the ball 39 times to the Bears, 16. Trubisky threw it 46 times.
Trying to
46
catch up.
Times, he had 26 completions. Aaron threw it 29 times, had 21 completions.
Well, that's the other thing. They're a run-the-ball offense. The ball to set up play action. They ran the ball 16 times, and Trubisky threw it 46 because they were behind the whole game. We ran the ball 39 times, threw it 29. We came in and executed the Bears' offense, what they have been trying to do all season. We came in and did to them.
Well, the mutual love affair before Rodgers and LaFleur was flourishing after the game when Aaron just kept talking about what a great
game plan,
game calling, and play calling, and LaFleur's like, oh, he does stuff I didn't even know guys could do. He's the best quarterback ever.
He said, best called game of LaFleur's career.
I'm good with that. Like I said, it was a well-rounded game. We really, really needed this game. Get back on track and try and stay close to Seattle. So they own the tiebreaker right now. So we got to.
Is it Seattle? I thought it was the Saints were behind.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're tied with Seattle behind the Saints by one game, but we have the tiebreaker over the Saints.
With the Saints, but if we're tied with Seattle with the record, then they get the first.
Why is that?
I think it's something about points scored or...
Oh, the points against, I think. Like how many... The point differential. So let me see. I'm pulling up the NFC here. We have... Oh my God, the NFC East is so horrible.
Isn't it crazy?
NFC East, Giants and Washington.
It's not the NFC
team.
East, it's the NFC Least.
The Washington football team and the Giants are 4-7. The Eagles are 3-7, who we have coming up next week. Cowboys 3-8. The team that wins that division is going to have like 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Seahawks are 8-3. We are 8-3. And the Saints are 9-2. So we need the Saints to lose. I looked at the Saints' schedule a couple days ago, and they only have one tough matchup coming up. Let me see if I can find it quick. So the Saints play the Falcons, should be a win. Eagles should be a win. Then they're home against the Chiefs. We need the Chiefs to beat the Saints 3 weeks from now on the 20th. Then on Christmas, they play the Vikings. Last game of the year, they play the Panthers. So we either need to win out and then to lose one, or we need other things to happen where, you know, Seahawks are losing, Saints lose multiple, things like that. Because there's only one bye this year. First seed gets a bye, no one else.
Hmm. The so like Sean said, the Eagles will be coming to Green Bay, playing at 3:25. Then we go to play the Lions with their new head coach, Daryl Bevel. That name might sound familiar to some folks. We go to Carolina. Wait a minute. No. Carolina comes to us. The Titans game after that, that's going to be a heck of a game. And then we
that
go.
That will be a good game.
And then we play against Chicago for the last game of the year.
With the next game, or with the Eagles coming up here, I'm pretty sure these numbers are right. 90% confident on my memory here. Carson Wentz has been is on pace to be sacked and throw more interceptions than any QB in the modern era.
Well, he's got to beat Favre.
He's been sacked 44 times.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I saw
the interceptions.
Something.
I think it's 22 interceptions.
They were saying that, and that's not – I mean, they've been – Eagles have been decimated by injuries this year. But I think it was their head coach was saying that it's – you can't blame that all on the offensive line. There's a lot of times where he's just – basically looking confused back there. I don't know what's happened.
Did he have
COVID? Do you know this year?
Not that I don't think so.
Let me look. I'll look. Because I know that
Cam Newton
was saying that it took him like 2-3 weeks to get where he didn't feel so foggy.
Oh, you should have. Did you see any of his games after he came back from COVID?
Mm-mm.
He was not Cam Newton. It was rough. He was throwing these weird picks out of nowhere, and so, but yeah, he's looked good the last few weeks, so that's good.
Let's see, trying to bring this up here. I just typed in Carson Wentz COVID, so I'm getting all kinds of stuff, but
yeah, I don't believe he has. Well, you look that up though, even split in the run game between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And Williams looked good, 4.3 yards average. He had that nice touchdown run right up the gut where he carried a couple guys with him. Nice to see the ability to get that kind of, split the even carries so that Aaron Jones doesn't get worn out. I know LaFleur has talked about he's such a weapon that it would be easy to just kind of, overuse him, not have him 100% later in the season, close to the playoffs when you need them.
That's what I'm hoping.
Nice to see they're sticking with that. With Henry?
Isn't it the Titans running back?
Oh, Derrick Henry. You want him to just be worn down like a...
Worn down when they come to Green Bay. And
like
you
a car
saw that Tennessee sunshine
the
and
mechanics.
Warmth, and they come to the frozen limbo field.
God, he is a monster, though. He just wears down the defense. He's that old school, Jim Brown running back. What's the old? Herschel Walker was kind of known for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I know my history. These are before my time.
Bo Jackson.
I was going to say Bo Jackson, but he was also – he kind of was good all game long. Because he also made guys miss, from what I've seen. He wasn't just a straight-ahead runner.
Well, congratulations to Savage. He had two interceptions this
game. Yeah, good game.
That was really good. We had two punts from Scott and averaged 46. That's good. That's good. You're good.
Nice to see that we're not just going to sit back and let there be mishaps every game in the return game by Darius Shepherd. We brought in Tavon Austin. News came out just a couple days ago. He's known as a kind of specialty kick returner, but has also had success as a receiver. He's been with a couple teams, I think over 5 years, has a touchdown scored. I think he has five or six touchdowns over that time, at least one every season, and three of them were kick returns for a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on this one, but we'll see.
You are so negative.
We'll see. I mean, I know Packer fans, I understand it because we do so little in free agency or anything. And so as soon as we get somebody, it's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. But, you know, look at his career the last couple of years. That hasn't been super.
It's been good in the return game. That's what we're bringing him in for.
I understand.
We're set at receiver.
So you have stats for him over the last 2 years on returns?
No, I just listened to podcasts.
Okay.
They mentioned the stats. I don't remember them. So I won't give you pretend ones.
All right.
In the passing game, another just big game as far as I think last game, Adams was averaging just under 13 yards a catch. He averaged 10.2 yards on 6 receptions, 9 targets this game for 61 yards total. His longest catch was 15 yards. So it's not like he has a big skewed outlier on that average. He's basically just catching first downs.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to argue with that. Another big play by Big Bob Tonyan. More than one, but another big deep ball play, which is always fun. It's fun to see the big guys downfield catching from Rodgers, because not only did Big Bob have a touchdown, but Mercedes Lewis caught one in the end zone this game too.
Mm-hmm.
EQ, Equanimeous St. Brown, got a couple. Lazard, his first catch of the game, he front flipped over like 2 guys. I was like, what are you doing? You are just back from a core injury and you're jumping over guys. He went out actually with a huge hit that was pretty concerning, but he came back in to finish the game with another catch.
Just looking here, we got looking at some of the milestones that happened in the game. 30 times Aaron Rodgers has thrown four touchdown passes. He's up to 33 touchdowns for the season. So he's reached 30 plus touchdowns 7 times in his career.
Not bad.
That's the 4th most in NFL history. Let's see if we can.
We are so spoiled.
And then how about that offensive line? Again, we start the game and Lindsley goes out, which right now they're saying it's an MCL sprain, I believe. And they're figuring roughly 3 to 5 weeks.
That could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. But, my gosh, the time that Aaron, what was it? They clocked one of his plays. It was 6 seconds. He's just kind of standing back there.
Elton Jenkins is going to position himself as one of the top linemen in the league soon here. Oh, he's just so good. I meant to send you this picture yesterday, and I forgot to. It was kind of a picture of 5 pictures stacked on each other, and it showed Elton Jenkins at left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, and said 0 sacks. So, what more can you ask of a lineman?
But not much. I can't imagine.
You hear his name a lot lately. That's hard to do as a lineman unless you're sucking.
That's true.
It's like hard to play well enough that people talk about you, because when you play well, they don't talk. It's only when you let up sacks that they start going, hey, Mr. Lineman here.
That's right.
So, impressive.
50. Only twice in NFL history has a quarterback thrown 50-plus touchdown passes with 100-plus passer rating against a team. Both are by Rodgers. According to NFL research, Rodgers has thrown 51 touchdown passes with a 105.3 passer rating against the Bears. He's also thrown 50 touchdown passes with a 108.5 rating against the Queens.
The Queens. Yeah, I mean, like I just said, we are so spoiled with Rodgers.
Well, we are so spoiled from going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, you know, and it's like, this was victory 100 for Green Bay against the Bears, which is amazing. When the Bears beat the Packers 30-10 at Lambeau in 1992 in October, they extended the margin in the series. The Bears did. But it looked like there's no way we were ever going to even it up. They were ahead by 81-58 in 6 ties. And now the Packers are up 100 95 and 6 ties.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He's Aaron is 19-5 in regular season starts, 20-5 when you include the NFC Championship game back in 2010.
I'd like to see in that stat there where we won so many games to catch up and then get to 100 games first. I'd like to see how many starting quarterbacks we've had compared to how many starting quarterbacks Chicago has had in that time.
I thought I saw a stat like that a while ago. I feel like it's in the 30s.
Is it? And we've had three?
In the Favre-Rogers era, I believe it's been. I believe.
I think it's three because I think the human victory cigar, Matt Flynn, started a couple games for us. Because I remember he had that huge win when Rogers was out over the Patriots 1 year, where he threw five touchdowns and got himself a nice old contract.
Oh, boy, did he ever. And then he went to Seattle, and then Seattle drafts I'm drawing a blank here. Who's their quarterback? The Seattle drafted
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and they kind of like they're
you
looking at each other.
Forgot Russell Wilson. Oh, okay, Badger.
We got Flynn. We're paying him this much money, but gosh, Wilson's better.
Yeah, I think it was one of the biggest QB contracts at the time, like 50 something million, and then
it's just
they ended
crazy.
Up going with the rookie.
400.
I wouldn't mind if I was Flynn. I wouldn't mind if I was Flynn. You just gave me how many million and I get to sit on the bench?
Yeah, and you got your body.
Exactly. I don't have to take hits.
400. Rogers' second touchdown of the night to Mercedes Lewis. It was catch number 400 of his career.
Okay.
For Mercedes. So, that was
still
cool.
Still behind like the big shooters, I think, if I remember right, Breeze and Brady are around that 530-something mark with the record, which I remember when they were saying that would never get broken, Peyton Manning's touchdown record.
It was Favre, then
Manning, and then I think Breeze, then Brady, if I remember right.
Rogers' first touchdown went to Devontae. It was catch number 500 of Adams' career.
Whew, halfway there.
50,000. Rogers' 39-yard
really
touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan. Big Bob pushed
Big
him over 50,000 passing yards in his career. He became the 11th player in history.
Do you think his arm is tired? Do you think his arm is tired?
Do I think what?
His arm is tired.
Oh. Didn't look like it.
It did not look like it. All right. You got any more for me?
I was going to say, 11th player in the NFL history to reach 50,000. I don't know if you saw this, but he did it on his 6,436th career passing attempt. Who is the one player that got there faster? He's still playing.
Oh, still playing. Breeze?
Don't think those type of quarterbacks.
Phillip Rivers?
Don't think that guy.
All right, just tell me, you weirdo.
Ben!
Big Ben. Ah, the longevity guy.
Yeah, it's so
you can't
Rogers,
take him down.
6,400 plus career passing attempts. Ben was 6,300 plus. So that's impressive.
It is impressive. I know he's gotten to the number of touchdowns he has in way less games than some of the other guys on the list. I saw that infographic once. 80% red zone efficiency this game. That's something we've been talking about where it felt like every week it's 40 to 50%, and that's just not going to cut it if you're looking to make a Super Bowl year out of it. But 4 out of 5 attempts in the red zone came out 80% efficiency, 2 for 2, 100% on goal to go. So that's good to see. You know, Bears can really tighten up in the red zone. They got the good pass rush with Khalil Mack, so nice to see him get some nice separation in the end zone.
Yeah, I thought as a whole, the team, you could just tell that the energy was there and stayed there. Of course, when you come out that quick, it's easy. But I thought tackling was better. Never going to have a perfect game, but I am pleased. We'll see how we come back with Philadelphia. If they can't get fired up for the Bears, I don't know what, you know, in any team in your conference, so in division, I should say. So,
by the way, for anyone listening, ignore the tornado sirens in the background. That is just the Russians invading.
Oh, well, that's nothing.
Nothing. I don't know how localized this is, but first Wednesday of every month, they go off as a test.
Every
we just happen to be recording.
On the 2nd of December, they're going off.
Yeah.
We are recording on Wednesday. Excuse me.
Took you a second to come up with the day of the week, Mr. Empty House.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me bring up... do you have anything more you want to talk about the game?
I think we pretty much covered it. Like we said, it was butt-kicking in pretty much every aspect of the game besides run defense. And if you're ahead so many points, you'll let the other team run the ball. But we ended up with almost 38 minutes time of possession to their 22 minutes, and they ran that up a bit in the fourth quarter, so it was probably closer to 30 minutes to 15 minutes before the fourth quarter, I would guess, 15 to 12. So we didn't let them have the ball much, and when we had the ball, we took advantage.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any football on Thanksgiving?
A little, not much. The one game I wanted to watch, Ravens Steelers, is tonight now, almost a week later, which is weird. A lot of Steelers fans and players upset.
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, you got to do what you got to do with this pandemic. But yeah, that was also the game I wanted to see. I did watch a fair amount of the Texans Lions game. I am not surprised that the Lions fired their head coach after that game. Come on, and you're one of only a handful or less than a handful of games going to be playing national, international. And they just did not look good. They lost. Lions lost to the Texans 41-25. And the other game. How are you liking the Cowboy fans finding out what Mike McCarthy is not so good at? The Cowboys lost, by the way, to the
game coach,
Washington football team 41-16.
Yeah, it turns out McCarthy's deficiencies really shine when you take away Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you got to be fair, though. I mean, they did lose a starting quarterback, and then they lost their backup for a couple of games. And so
it was
that noise in the background is nothing from the Russians. That's Sean putting his cup of tea down.
Oh, was that loud?
Just a little bit.
It's coffee, by the way. You remember when we used to talk about at the beginning of every episode what we're drinking?
Yeah, back in the day when you did.
Back in the day when I did.
So you're drinking coffee and I'm drinking ice water. So we're pretty.
I know,
pretty rowdy.
We got pretty lame. Yeah, so I was just brought up the NFC North here. 8-3 for the Packers, 5-6 for the Vikings and Bears, and 4-7 for the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I mean, we're definitely in the driver's seat being, let me see how many games back, 3 games ahead of both the Vikings and Bears, and they don't exactly seem like set up for turning their season around. I know the Vikings have looked a little bit better as of late, but they still have a negative point differential on the year, so it makes it hard to make a playoff run.
No,
but of course, there's extra spot.
We got, just looking at the Vikings squeaked one out against the Panthers. The last second
winner.
There, 27-28 Vikings win. So let's see, boy, how about we lose to the Colts? The Colts lose to the Titans big time. 45-26. That was saw a little bit of that game. Boy, that was just a pound them, smash them in the mouth kind of football game.
Yeah, that was an ugly game. I saw a lot of that. But, yeah, I mean, I know there's every year there's we lost to this team and then this team beat them, so how are we going to beat this team? Or, you know, we lost to – or we beat this team and then they beat this team, so we must be better than that team. And it's
right.
Like, yeah, it never works out that way. It always comes down to matchups on Sunday.
You know, one team that really doesn't get much talk about is the Bills. They're 8-3. They beat the Chargers 27-17. And Chargers might be looking for a new head coach as well. I didn't expect the Raiders to get killed. My gosh, they're playing at Atlanta. They lost 43-6. That is just crazy. I mean, they're in the playoff hunt. They're 6-5.
They had just beat the Buccaneers.
That's right. That's right. And the Saints beat up on the quarterback-less Broncos. 31-3.
Yeah, the Saints were also pretty much quarterback-less. They just had a better non-quarterback. There was the amount of throwing and the level of throwing in that game was horrible. It was pretty much run the ball. What's his name for the Saints? It's something Hill.
I don't remember. Just to round it out here, then we got the Chiefs over the Buccaneers. Tom Brady still struggling, and of course the final, the Packers over the Bears.
41-25.
By the way, the Monday night game, it was the Seahawks over the Eagles, 23-17, which is, you know, you got to give the Eagles some credit for hanging in there.
But. So Taysom Hill is the pretty much running back quarterback for the Saints. Saints won 31-3 over the Broncos, while their quarterback threw it 16 times for 9 completions, 78 yards total in an interception.
Hey,
and
speaking
they won 31-3.
Did I see that right? With Trubisky had 3 fumbles, lost 1. But he did not look good out there.
No, he didn't. He hasn't for a little while. You know, they've been going back and forth between him and Nick Foles, so that's not a good sign in your season. You can't decide which quarterback might help you a little bit more.
I was happy for Smith being able to pick up that ball and run it in on that fumble, too. That was
a Smith combo. Za'Darius Smith stripping it, and then Preston Smith with the touchdown.
That's right.
Smith brothers coming in big.
Coming in big, baby.
All right.
How much else on the game, brother? Eagles coming up. We go to Detroit. Panthers come. Titans come to us. And then we go to the Bears. So.
Tell me about Voice Guy.
Oh, sure. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. That's me! I'm the voice guy next door. Did the girl come in there? You didn't latch the door tight enough, did you? The lady made it in. Our mascot. We can't show lady this year because she's not coming. Well, you could take pictures of her and put her up on the Facebook page. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. I do have ADD, by the way. Anything you need with voice work. Whiteboard videos are really popular. A lot of explainer videos, whether that's be for the personnel or for your clients. Radio, TV commercials, on hold messaging, all that good stuff. If you would check it out at voiceguynextdoor.com. It's a very simple website. I got my demos right up on the homepage and also the contact me stuff. Just look me up. And we can chat about what you're looking for. Now, a lot of times it can be a little intimidating because it's not something you do every day. So voiceguynextdoor.com. And I need to get some new graphics for my website and also for my social media presence. What should a guy do?
go to Greenlight Graphic Design on Facebook. I specialize in helping you grow your social media presence, branding for your business, whether that is a new logo, flyers, letterhead, business cards, all that, if you're, getting the branding going. And yeah, I will handle the design. I can do website design for you as well. Go to Greenlight Graphic Design on Facebook and send me a message. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, Greenlight Graphic Design. I'm surprised you're still talking about it because I know you've been super busy. You're getting a lot of people loving you. And you know, the cool thing about it is, like I mentioned to you, I think it was yesterday, when you get people that keep coming back and keep coming back, that means you're doing a great job. So kudos to you for that.
Well, yeah, I had a guy just come back and do a big order that came at kind of a busy time to begin with. So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to find a way to pump the brakes a little.
Well, you know how you do that? Raise your prices.
Yeah, there you go.
that's typically that'll put the brakes on a little bit for you. How are we? You got a game ball?
I have a game ball.
All right, let's time for the game ball.
All right, and the game ball goes to the entire offensive line.
Oh, man, we don't have that many.
Oh, I think we're going to have to dip into our pockets and find some, because I was going to give it to Elton Jenkins, but overall, the offensive line shined. We had 182 yards rushing with some big holes and no sacks allowed on Rodgers with a lot of time. So, congratulations.
Just crazy cool. Basically, running game, work that's your offensive line. That's your everybody, actually. The offensive line, your receivers, everybody's got a hat on a hat, and these guys were able to get it. That's a good pick. I like that. Good job.
All right. Well, thank you. You ready to move into picks?
What? Yeah, let's do that. Let me bring up. Here we go. All right. So, how do we do this past week?
Going into last week, I was up by one in the picks. We both picked Texans to beat the Lions, and we're correct. We both picked the Packers to beat the Bears, and we were correct. With the Panthers at Vikings, I took Vikings. You took Panthers. Vikings won by one, and so I'm up by two going into this next week here.
Oh, no. We only have so many games left, too.
I know. I'm growing the lead down the home stretch.
You see that? You see my knees? Can you see my knees on the webcam? I'm a shaking.
No, I can't. That's not how webcams aimed at your head work. There you go. Now you're all shaking.
All right, so let's do our picks for this week coming up.
All right, I'm going to have you go first. Jags at Vikings.
Vikings.
All right, I'm going Jags.
Ooh.
Lions at Bears. They both suck.
Yeah, you know what though? I think I'm going to go with the Lions because they're going to get fired up with their new coach.
Okay. I'm going Bears.
I don't know how much that's worth, but
I'm going to go Bears. So if you're right on both of those, you could catch up in 1 week.
Yeah.
And then Eagles at Packers. I already put in both our picks.
The Eagles?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I put in Packers for mine.
That sounds fair.
Overall, though, great game. Fun game. Fun to beat the Bears in general, but extra fun to do it in prime time.
Yeah, it was. It's we've said it all year. It's just so weird playing in Lambeau and empty. You know, I think they had 500 people there for this game. Just
Lazard
to
did
see.
Lambeau lead to no one.
Right. But I think they had, it was like team personnel and family and friends kind of stuff. But, when you got a stadium that holds over 80,000 people and you have 500, it still is empty. Kind of missing that experience. It's always fun watching the fans in the stadium. Green Bay fans have a way of celebrating that's a little unique to some other stadiums. So But I'm liking this. I'm liking the way we kind of ramped it up this game. I'm hoping we can keep our foot on the gas. Don't let up on the Eagles.
I think we can keep this ball rolling until our game with the Titans, which will be, I think, pretty back and forth. But if we can beat the Titans going into the playoffs, I think we'll be pretty confident, rolling pretty well as long as we stay healthy. I'm feeling really good. I think we can beat anyone.
Yeah, we'll see.
I also think there's a chance we could lose to anyone, so it's kind of hard to know.
That's exactly it.
Because sometimes we're world beaters, and every once in a while we come out and we're just like kick puppies.
Okay. I could see us, having that down game after that great win against Chicago. I could see us losing to the Lions with their new quarterback. I could see us losing to Teddy Bridgewater, scrambling quarterback for Carolina. Definitely could see us losing to the Titans. Don't see us losing to the Bears the last game of the year, because chances are we're going to have to play for something. But
I say we win out. We're going to run the table.
You want to write that down? So at the end of the year, you can say, I called it December
2nd. L-A-X. Here we go.
All right, sir.
Good chatting with you. I'm glad we got the video call going. It's good to see you. It's almost like I'm in the booth.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, just you don't have to deal with my bad breath. So that's.
I was gonna say, it just doesn't smell as bad.
All right. Till next week. Go pack.
Go.
You're watching me. That's what
I'm trying to. But we got a bit of a delay on the video here. So.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!